meeting. Welcome to the March 13th meeting of your Aiken City Council. This time we're going to have our invocation, which will be followed by the pledge. I'm going to ask Reverend Charles Matthews from Second Baptist if he would come deliver our invocation for us. Good evening, Reverend Matthews.
Our heads as we pray, please. Lord, wise God, we just want to say thank you for this wonderful day, a day that we've never seen and a day that we'll never see again. We thank you, God, for all those that are gathered here this evening with an interest in the city of Aiken. We lift up the mayor as well as the city councilmen. We ask that you anoint them as they go over the agenda tonight. We ask that you give them wise counsel to make decisions that's going to benefit the city, but not only the city, that the people that resides here in Aiken, South Carolina. God, we're just so grateful to be able to call you our Father. We thank you for the many blessings that you have stored upon us each and every day. And Lord, as we continue this meeting, let us be guided by your Holy Spirit, giving us direction, wisdom, knowledge, as well as strength. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Matthews. I'm going to ask Chief Branko if he'd come up and lead us in our pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to go over our guidelines at this time, if I might. Meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearing, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. If you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subjects being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And with that, I would like to recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. Reggie Ebner, for additions and deletions to the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any additions or changes from any of the council members present? Hearing none, Mr. Mayor, move that we accept the agenda as posted.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. The minutes were distributed to council members before our meeting for their review. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion or changes? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes as presented? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to that portion of the agenda, presentations. Number one is recognition of Aiken Brewing Company for, although the agenda says 10, it's actually 20 years, and our proclamation will say that. So at this time, I'd like to recognize Councilman Dick DeWar to read our proclamation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a proclamation celebrating 20 years of business for the Aiken Brewing Company. Whereas the Aiken Brewing Company first opened their doors for business in 1997, occupying the location at 140 Lawrence Street Southwest, and whereas it offers Aiken a homebrew pub serving a weekly changing lineup of handcrafted beers and a pub-style menu, and whereas in 2003, Lonnie Robb and Jen Pruitt purchased the Aiken Brewing Company from Dan Beavers, and whereas in 2003, the Aiken Brewing Company was awarded a gold medal for its Thoroughbred Red and a silver medal for its Randy's Grand Cru at the Great American Beer Festival, and whereas in 2016, they were recognized by the readers of the Aiken Standard with the Aiken Choice Award for the best place for craft beer. Now therefore be it resolved that the City of Aiken recognizes the Aiken Brewing Company for 20 years of success in providing our city with great food, great beer, and a place in the heart of our downtown that feels like everybody really does know your name. Signed by the Mayor and members of Council.
And is there a motion? Is there a motion?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? And of course, that's unanimous. And we're going to ask our owners who are here today with us to come down, and Councilman DeWar and I are going to present this to you.
20 years is quite an accomplishment. Did everybody like the Cheers reference in the end?
Yes, absolutely.
That was good.
There you go.
I didn't know if the standard might want to take a shot. Hey, we need to help you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, moving down the agenda. Old business, number one. This is a discussion of appointees of various city boards.
Mr. Mayor, with a proclamation.
It's going to be later on, actually. That's a good point. They're running a little behind, so they positioned on the agenda later. Okay. Thank you for that. Moving down to old business, discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. I recognize City Manager
Mr. Mayor, there are no appointments before us this evening.
Okay, nothing to be considered. Are there any names to be considered for our next meeting to be moved forward?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. I have a resume in front of, you may have it, in front of some of you maybe, Tammy Terrell Robinson. Tammy is being recommended for the Energy and Environment Committee. Frank Wright, who served with us for many, many years and has been a great contributor as a volunteer on that committee, has sent a letter of resignation to devote more time to another committee that he's serving on. But interestingly enough, Tammy Terrell Robinson has been attending the meetings and not an appointee. And she is a public affairs specialist for the U.S. Forestry Division, Savannah Riverside. And so we want to, since she's been attending without being a member of that committee, want to make her an appointee to that committee. So again, the name is Tammy Terrell Robinson with the U.S. Forestry Division at Savannah Riverside.
Thank you, Councilwoman Price. Looks like a good nominee.
She is.
Any other nominations?
I have two. I hope one who's in the audience agrees. I'd like to reappoint James Archibald to the Building Code and Appeals Committee. Yep, I got the approval.
Thumbs up for the record.
And I'd like to reappoint Dr. Rose Hayes to the Arts Commission.
Thank you, Councilman DeWar. Any other nominees to be considered at our next meeting? Thank you. Moving down to number 200, old business. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property owned by Vanessa Mazingo at 696 Henry Street to the city and zone it residential single family RS-10. By title, an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property located at 696 Henry Street and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Do we have a second? Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the applicant is requesting annexation of a .257-acre parcel located at 696 Henry Street and zoned as residential single-family. This lot is in the Virginia Acres subdivision and is an unincorporated, quote, donut hole. The surrounding lots are in the city and zone RS-10. The Planning Commission at their February 14, 2017 meeting unanimously recommended to Council that 696 Henry Street be annexed to the city and zoned RS-10 residential. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the February 27, 2017 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 696 Henry Street to the city and zone at RS-10 residential single family.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience?
Thank you.
Comments from council?
I just want to officially welcome you for coming into the city limits. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Congratulations. Moving down to new business on the agenda. Number one is first reading of an ordinance amending Section 2 of the Aiken City Code regarding due dates for city services or fees. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, when payments for city services, taxes, or fees are due to the city on a date that falls on a Saturday, Sunday, or city holiday, no penalty is incurred provided that the payment is made on the next business day. Our staff would like to propose a change to allow additional flexibility for our local businesses by adding federal holidays and also allowing the city manager's discretion on a case-by-case basis to the list of dates where no penalty is incurred. Currently, there are three federal holidays that the city is open for business: Washington's Birthday, Columbus Day, and Veterans Day. The city manager, under the change, would have discretion in addition to waive due dates regarding situations such as weather events or states of emergency. So for council consideration is first reading and public hearing of an ordinance amending Section 2 of the Aiken City Code. I would just like to add that we have worked closely with Councilmember Ebner on this, as well as other council members. Our staff has received complaints from time to time because they simply are enforcing what is contained in the ordinance that was passed previously. We believe that there should be flexibility on a case-by-case basis, first and foremost for those holidays that are federal holidays but not city holidays, but also more broadly allowing staff the opportunity if there is an ice storm, if their electricity goes out, if there is a snowstorm, although I have been told you don't get snow here in Aiken.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Something along those lines, that staff has the flexibility. You know, our goal is to be pro-business friendly. It's not to club people over the head, and we hope that the council will support our staff and ask for this change so that we can, on a case-by-case basis, not have to impose undue burdens on our business sector.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Yeah, as I understand the ordinance, it's not your discretion for the three federal holidays that are not recognized by the city. This says we will not incur the penalty. The discretion is for the emergencies.
That's correct.
Is my understanding.
The present ordinance only mentions city holidays. It doesn't mention federal holidays. So
yes,
we're asking for flexibility in that regard. But while we're at it, we're also asking for some consideration for additional consideration for storm, for...
Sure. Yes,
for
yeah, that's okay. Yeah. We're on the same page. Fine. Thank you.
Let's say thanks to our staff, and I know Councilman Ebner has worked on this as well. It certainly is a step for common sense and progress.
One final point. If there were any penalties assessed as a result of the last one, they're going to be rebated to the businesses?
Yes, at the request of Councilmember Ebner, the provision of the proposal before you would be retroactive.
Okay.
Very good.
February 19th would be exact.
All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to new business number two. This is first reading of an ordinance approving the sale of city property on Price Avenue by title and ordinance amending Section 2 of the Aiken City Code. Is there a motion?
I so move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Jay Watts, the owner of Family Pharmacy at 110 Price Ave, has contacted the city about purchasing the city-owned parcel adjacent to his business on Price Ave. He has leased the parcel, which is used as a parking area from the city since 2009, for $600 per year. The lease expires in 2019. He would like to join the parcel to his existing pharmacy parcel. A recent appraisal has placed the value of the land at $5,000. Mr. Watts has actually offered to purchase the property for $6,000. His plans are to continue to use the property for parking for his business, the Family Pharmacy. The sale of the property has been discussed with Public Works staff and with our planning director, and we see no problems with the sale. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance authorizing the sale of the city-owned lot on Price Ave adjacent to Family Pharmacy for $6,000.
Thank you, Mr. Clement. Any comments from the audience? Comments from Council?
I need a clarification. I support it, but the AT&T substation lease with this, what happens to that agreement? Is there still an active agreement on that property in 20 years?
You can ask the city attorney, but typically these carry forward. It has to.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the agreement. I don't know. I'm not sure what Ms. Council
is. Can we research that between first and second?
Yes, it's in our document here.
Yeah.
Okay. Except you will.
And there's an AT&T mini substation.
We will research that with our legal staff if we could and respond to you prior to second reading.
Thank you. All those in favor on first reading? And that's unanimous. Moving down to petitions and requests. Number one is a request for approval of revised proposal for the Eustis Park Senior Youth Center. Is there a motion?
So move.
I so move.
All right, we have a motion and I assume a second. There we go. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, our architects have submitted a revised architectural and engineering proposal for the Eustis Park Senior Youth Center project. The previous contract council approved in March of 2015 was for design services on the Eustis Park site. Since the execution of the contract, we purchased the 5.5-acre site adjacent to the park from the Aiken County School District, which is reflected in the updated agreement. In addition, this revised proposal is based on the latest scope changes as discussed with City Council on February 13, 2017, which includes reducing the main banquet room as noted in the agenda. This proposal is submitted to City Council for approval so we can proceed with this project. For City Council consideration is approval of a revised architectural and engineering proposal from our architects for Eustis Park Senior Youth Center project. And our assistant city manager, Stuart Biedenbaugh, who worked on this, is here to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any comments from the audience first? Okay. Any comments or questions from council?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Biedenbaugh.
Stuart.
This is again for the record, and I already have information, but I just wanted to make sure that the public was aware of what's next. We will.
Yes, the architect is continuing his work. This is not like a slowdown or a delay, but right now the abatement of asbestos is occurring, and then the buildings will be demoed, and during this time the architect will continue his design and then be ready to go out to bid here late spring, early summer for the project.
So as far as we know, we're on schedule.
Yes, we are on schedule again. This is just reflecting the fact that the original contract was for the building to be constructed on the Eustis Park site that the city has owned for many years, and now it reflects reducing of the banquet facility as well as the moving over to the Eustis Park site, and also the probable inclusion of Helping Hands in the on the property side as well, or the construction side.
So Helping Hands is not
No, the probable inclusion. You know, okay. They are included.
Okay.
Inclusion,
okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Adding to what Mr. Biedenbaugh said, this contract now covers exactly what we're building. The only reason it's not been released is the waiting on the approval of the grant. And otherwise, we would be we're waiting about 6 or 7 weeks for that, and that was discussed in a work session with the council before. So the architect is ready to go, and the plans are so. As soon as we know about the grant, I think he said 6 weeks, Stuart?
Yes.
No more than 8, we'd have a contract on the street.
Okay. All right, very good. And all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number 2, under petitions and requests, this is a request from the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch. It's a request to place a little free library in Hopeland Gardens. Is there a motion?
I so move.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department has received a request from the Aiken Council of the International Reading Association to place a little free library in Hopelands Gardens. They would stock the library with books and maintain it so that all visitors to Hopeland Gardens can enjoy a book there or take it home to read and return it when they have finished. The Little Free Library is a nonprofit organization that promotes a love of reading, builds community, and sparks creativity by fostering neighborhood book exchanges around the world. The idea is to promote reading with a person taking a book and leaving a book from the Little Free Library. It is proposed to locate the Little Free Library behind the dollhouse, just a short distance from the location of Storytime in the Gardens, a program offered by the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department. The Little Free Library initiative is supported by the Aiken Garden Club and the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch. For City Council consideration is approval of the request to place a Little Free Library at Hopelands Gardens. And you do have, as part of the agenda, a series of letters of support from a variety of groups, and we are in receipt of a letter this evening from our friends at the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch who support this initiative as well. Staff is here to answer any questions that you may have.
As I said the request from you, I know you're supporting it, but it's actually from the International Reading Association. I had the Friends of Hopeland on my mind, I guess, because they had such a great event for their annual meeting, which I commend all the members who are here tonight. What a terrific meeting and a terrific accomplishment, and we cut the ribbon at the stables there. So, all right, with that, I'll open up the floor for comment on this issue. Okay. Any comments from council?
Okay. First of all, I would like to commend you on accepting this little free library. We actually have one at our health center in Clearwater. The Girl Scouts put one in about 2 years ago. And I'll tell you what, the kids really look forward to coming to see the pediatrician because they can get a book. Each time they get a different book, and sometimes they'll bring one from home. So it's made a great impact, and I'm also impressed with all of the letters of support that you've had. It's good to see people actually reaching out and say, yes, we need to do this. I know a lot of people say, why do we need it in Hopeland Gardens? Of all places, you have a lot of activities in Hopeland Gardens. And there are children in Hopeland Gardens. And they love that little dollhouse. I'm going to bring my grandbaby. She's 3. And let her bring a book and leave a book. So thank you so much for this. I really commend you. This is a good thing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gabriel. No, I'll yield to you.
There's couple of comments I have, and it's not about whether the Little Free Library is good or not. It is, and there's a number of them around town that I've supported on the churches and other buildings and so forth and so on. I think the issue is, should this be a city council resolution or should this be a staff issue? Other cities have allowed private property on public property, and you get into the liability issues and so forth. And I guess here is putting the council in position to say, this group is all right. What are you going to do when the next one comes in? And I think that what I'd recommend we do is that this ought to be looked at as a city policy to say it's okay, because we have other places in the city that would be appropriate for this type of activity. And I guess that's my concern, and there was about 3, maybe 4 years ago, a group came and offered to put one in, and it was a liability issue at that time. Okay, because remember now, you got private property being installed on public property, so it's not that. And I know other cities, and we were just living in Gastonia for a while temporarily, and a scout person went and put it on a number of city properties and was encouraged to do it. So I guess I'm looking that this ought to be come from the city manager as a policy, so he has the ability to say good or bad of our recommendations. Otherwise, every one of them is going to have to come to council.
All right. Can we direct staff to maybe look at a policy?
Yeah. And I have no problem putting it on there and then put it up tomorrow. But these are, I assume they are registered with the Little Free Library, and they have their number and all those good things.
Yes.
And all of them around town, and there was just one at the the Lutheran Church. But I think if that's agreeable, that's what I would like to see done rather than each one coming to council. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, I would suggest we obviously approve this one since it's before us tonight, but going forward, we ask staff to come.
Yeah, and I think, next week he can solve the issue and then go ahead and put it up and get it in business, because there's rules for it.
Good point.
Is that okay, Bill, with that? And that way it makes it a broad city policy rather than just that.
You're dead right. You're dead right. Yeah. May I?
Absolutely.
Bill Reynolds, 252 Old Market Street. Aiken, I'm president of Friends of Hopelands. And Councilman Edner, you're dead right. You're so far above our pay grade the way you're thinking about it. We're parochial. We're just thinking about Hopelands. But I think you do need some kind of a city policy that is sort of an umbrella across all parks. So that there's things like, I noticed you talked about tobacco-free parks tonight. Well, you don't want anything objectionable, in literature, et cetera, in all of your parks, but then each park is a little different, serves a different clientele. And in the case of Hopelands, it's a quiet, peaceful garden of excellence. And we feel this kind of thing is very consistent, very compatible with that. But we understand that there could be an issue, and a policy would be, if not in place, would certainly be appropriate to have in place. So we support that.
All right. And I think Ms. Campbell can, and I'm sure she's read the Little Free Library part, the policy can be based off of their requirements. They've got a lot of nice specific requirements, and that would fit very well into a city policy. And there'd be no question about what you could do or not do.
I feel like staff can bring us through the...
So I don't know if we need to continue this resolution or drop it.
I'd like to approve this resolution, and then
as we go forward,
going forward, that will be a policy put in place.
Okay, very good.
Want to wait two weeks? Can you wait 2 weeks?
Well, no, it's a single reading. The resolution, so it only has one reading.
We can do what the mayor's suggesting. I mean, I think that would be ideal.
Yeah, this is already in motion. I mean,
then we'll have to do it again.
And we know that policy will be in place coming forward.
So. Thank you. In reference to Councilmember Ebner, I support what you stated, and there are other locations with
libraries, little free libraries, and given those locations, I was concerned, almost identical to what your concerns that was expressed. So thank you for sharing that early.
I'm okay with the vote.
All right. Okay. And with that direction, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank Mr. Reynolds for promotion and pay grade here, too.
That's right. Number three under requests, or petitions and requests, this is a request for permission to hang Horses and Courses Art Walk banners downtown. Is there a motion?
I so move.
And a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department and the Arts Commission are requesting permission to place four banners in the downtown area promoting the Horses and Courses Art Walk to be held on Tuesday, April 4th, 2017 in the downtown. They are requesting that they be allowed to place banners on the arms of the traffic light poles at Richland and Lawrence, both directions, and at Park and Lawrence, both directions. The banners would be 2x8 and made of vinyl material and have wording advertising the Horses and Courses Art Walk with the date and time of the event. The banners would also have the logos for Experience Aiken, Aiken Tourism, the Farmers Market, Aiken Artists Guild, and the ADDA. For council consideration is permission for the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department and the Arts Commission to put up banners in the downtown to advertise the Horses and Courses Art Walk and remove the banners thereafter.
Okay. Very good. Comments from the audience? From council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number four under petitions and requests.
Takes care of afternoon.
Yes, she did. This is a request for proclamation and permission to place gray ribbons in the downtown area in May to bring awareness to Brain Cancer Awareness Month. And I'm going to ask this time if Councilwoman Price would...
Would read
that proclamation into the record at this time.
Spare, this proclamation reads as follows. Whereas there are over 600,000 people in the United States living with a primary brain tumor diagnosis, and more than 60,000 new cases will be diagnosed in children and adults this year. And whereas, because brain tumors are located at the Control Center for Thought, Emotion, and Movement, their effects on an individual's physical and cognitive abilities can be devastating. And whereas, brain tumors are among the deadliest and most aggressive forms of cancer and affect every socioeconomic class, race, and gender. And there are few known risk factors for brain tumors and no strategies for early detection. Also, symptoms of brain tumors can be attributed to other conditions, leading to delays in diagnosis. And whereas brain tumor treatment options are both limited and complicated due to the fact that there are more than 100 different types of tumors and tumor locations, and whereas long-term changes in quality of life following brain tumor treatment are common and can include impairments to physical and cognitive functioning and financial turmoil, not only impacting patients but their loved ones, and whereas increasing public awareness through support and advocacy for patients and their families is crucial to finding a cure, and for the month of May, gray ribbons will be placed in the downtown area to call attention to Brain Tumor Awareness Month. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Mayor Rick N. Osborne and the Council of the City of Aiken do hereby proclaim May 27 as Brain Tumor Awareness Month and encourage all residents to support research on brain tumors, patients, caregivers, and all Americans who will benefit from new therapies and cures. Done this 13th day of March 2017 and is signed by the Honorable Mayor Rick Osborne, Mayor Pro Tem Reggie Ebner, Councilwoman Gail Diggs,
Councilmember Dick DeWar, Councilmember Philip Mary, Councilmember Steve Amoki, and Councilwoman Leslie Price.
All right, that's in way of a motion.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. We have Dr. Rebecca Harper here with us today who initiated this request. Rebecca, would you like to come up? I know you have a story. Would you like to take a minute and share? I know this is dear to you because of a personal situation, and I thought you might want to address this at this time.
Good evening. Thank you for letting me be late. Also, I teach on Monday night, so I appreciate you letting me come in late. On September the 3rd, 2016, my mother was diagnosed with a brain tumor. What we thought was a stroke or Bell's palsy, we realized was an infiltrative tumor that was encompassed her entire right hemisphere. My mother was 60 years old. She taught school for 31 years. She walked in the hospital on September 3rd, and she was taken out in an ambulance in November. She came home with hospice for 3 weeks and died at home on December the 20th. So in a short amount of time, I got very well educated about brain cancer. Cancer had not been a part of my life until then, and it became a very real part very quickly. It became a real part of my life, my husband's life, my children's lives. And so one of the things that I realized was that I knew a lot about other things, but I didn't know a lot about this particular illness. And I knew that there were other people in our community, in our state, who were dealing with some of the same issues. Now, my mother, it was a very quick and rapid decline. There's not very much in the way of treatment for the types of brain cancer that she had. She had a grade 3 anaplastic astrocytoma, which is one of the most deadly, glioblastoma only being more deadly. But I began to think about what happened with me when I drove through here when I saw the teal ribbons and how that made me think about ovarian cancer awareness and what I needed to do and what I needed to watch for. And so I thought that might be a good thing for us to do here in Aiken. One of the things I think people forget about is that there's the person who's at the center of the illness, but then there are their family members, their caregivers, who are in the middle of a storm and who stay in hospitals for days and don't see the light of sun. And when they come out, the world is still spinning. And I miss my mother every day. And this is just one way for me to make her death have meaning. And maybe it helps somebody else. Maybe it makes somebody else realize this is happening to some, it happened to somebody else. It was not something that just happened to me because of who I am. It happened to me just because it can happen to anybody. So I appreciate you all taking the time to hear my request. It makes losing my mother a little bit more easy to bear. It at least makes me feel like it's got some purpose and I can do some good.
Well, Rebecca, I want to say I think on behalf of all council and for our city too, through your loss, this awareness is happening because it brought it to your attention and you're sharing it with others. So you're making a difference in our community, in our city. So, of course, we feel so much for your loss, but we appreciate so much that you're taking that and turning it into a positive for our community and this awareness so other people will know and they'll see that grade, just like you did for the ovarian, and it made a difference. So thank you for what you're doing. And Councilwoman Price and I would love to present this proclamation to you at this time.
Thank you.
Agenda under petitions and requests number 5. This is a request for approval to place banners in the downtown intersections advertising the Bluegrass Festival. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this request.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All right, comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the Aiken Bluegrass Festival Steering Committee is requesting permission to place banners in the downtown advertising the Bluegrass Festival to be held on May 12th and 13th at the Aiken Fairgrounds. They're requesting permission to place four banners in the downtown areas on the arms of the traffic light poles at Richland, Linden, and Lawrence, at Park Ave and Lawrence, and at the South Boundary promoting the Bluegrass Festival. They would like to put up the banners up on 21 April and take them down after the festival. For council consideration is permission for the Bluegrass Festival Steering Committee to put up banners on 21 April 2017 in the downtown to advertise the Bluegrass Festival and to remove them by May 15, 2017.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Klum. Any comments from the audience? Good evening, Mr. Gibbs.
Will Gibbs, 24 Burgundy Road. I'm a member of the steering committee, and I just want to say thank you for considering this. The Bluegrass Festival is a has turned into quite a large event. We've gone from being in the downtown festival grounds to now having to host it at the fairgrounds. We're grateful recipients of ATAX money, which has allowed us to advertise in other areas besides Aiken. We're already seeing ticket sales for this year's festivals from Oregon, California, Colorado, Florida, Pennsylvania, just to name a few of the places that have already bought tickets and plan to come and experience what makes Aiken great. So I just wanted to rise and say thank you for considering this. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. I talked to Christian Schumann today, and I think they're expecting over 1,200 people this year at this festival. It's really grown. Any comments from council? All right, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Number six, this is a resolution regarding downtown infrastructure improvements. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
And second, comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, I am both delighted and proud that this council a year ago decided to make the repair of our aging infrastructure their highest priority. This council recognizes that we are embarking on citywide infrastructure improvements, including addressing some of the oldest infrastructure located in our historic downtown. As we potentially see downtown revitalization, we recognize that infrastructure improvements in this area, bordered in the resolution by Lawrence and Newbury Streets between Park and Richland Avenues, must be completed. Council member Dick Duar would like consideration of the attached resolution, which would require an engineer-led evaluation of sewer, water, valves, fire hydrants, and stormwater in the central area as soon as possible. So for council consideration is this resolution regarding downtown infrastructure improvements. I have had the opportunity to discuss at length this resolution with the Councilmember Duar, and have offered several comments to him. And that is that we are deeply and strongly supportive of this resolution. But I asked him for consideration of continuing this because we want to get input first and foremost from our engineers to get a better understanding of not only what is being proposed downtown, but what their recommended timetable would be. And also get a better understanding of what that infrastructure improvement entails at each of the various locations. I want to make sure that the engineers that are working on our infrastructure plan agree with the the delineation of roads that are included in the resolution, because just because these are the areas where there might be downtown revitalization, an engineer might say, if you're going to open up this road, don't stop it here, do a larger section of road. And so we're just looking for input from our engineering staff before our final vote is taken. We want to ask the preferred developer of the downtown revitalization how this would impact what he's proposing, just to get input from the developer. We clearly want to ask the tenants, the present tenants that are there, for their advice and their input. I talked to one tenant who felt very strongly that if we're going to do both infrastructure repairs and downtown revitalization, that we should try to do it as compact as possible, the timetable, so that it impacts the running of his day-to-day business as little as possible. I want to talk to the Aiken Downtown Development Association so we get a consensus of the downtown businesses, because they're the ones that are going to be impacted. And I want to make sure that we've allowed customers, residents, an opportunity to weigh in. And to do that, you need to see a schedule of proposed infrastructure repairs and line it up with the proposed revitalization recommendations. And lastly, I want to make sure that no one believes that the infrastructure improvements are somehow tied to the downtown revitalization. So if it is this council's will in the end not to follow through with downtown revitalization, the plans that are before you, that we don't stop the infrastructure. The infrastructure needs to be done. So I applaud Councilmember Duar. I support this strongly and have asked for his consideration and your consideration to let us do a little more spade work so that when we pass a resolution in the near future, all of the various parties have weighed in, and so there are unintended consequences.
I guess my only comment is, and I agree, we did have a discussion, and I hope I'm not saying anything different now than what I said before, but when you talk about running this through the tenants, the developer, the ADDA, the customers, and so forth, I mean, it sort of lends itself to a more lengthy delay than I had originally anticipated. And this also includes Hain Avenue from Lawrence to Pendleton, which is the area near the Lawrence Street building. Quite honestly, I hope that we can approve this at the next meeting. I think by that time we should have some guidance from the engineers, and that revolves around the fact that it's just not, you can't simply start at Newbury and Park, for example, and expect to go to Lawrence and Park, because the engineers may need to say that you have to start 50 feet or 25 feet before that intersection and go beyond that intersection. So the engineers are going to drive exactly what needs to be done on any of these streets. My focus was to get it done, hopefully, before we really start the construction for the Renaissance, depending on how that develops, because this has to get done anyway. And I think if we can take a small chunk of that, whether it's Park or Newbury or Lawrence, and put it out to bid, it will help us solidify our overall planning for how much it's going to cost us to fix the infrastructure, because I'm not sure that we have a precise figure. My engineer friend to my right tells me sometimes you don't know what you get into till you get into the dirt. And so we're going to learn a lot when we, whatever section we pick, whether it's Newbury or Park, we're going to learn a lot. And we're going to help us determine how much money it's going to take us to do that. But we've got to get downtown done as soon as possible. That has a major impact on business and on future development. So I hope we can come back and approve this at our next meeting.
Well, I just want to reiterate that I not only totally agree with what you just said, but believe that in 2 weeks, and suggesting that we might not want to take a vote tonight, I wasn't suggesting any lengthy. The engineers are working tonight as we speak, and I think in 2 weeks we'll have much more than we would have had.
Then it's fine with me to continue.
So there's a motion to continue?
Yeah, I would support the motion to continue.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. It's not debatable. All those in favor of continuing?
The Did you have a comment, Steve? That you
yeah, I did. One of the things, you know, with our lessons on Silver Bluff and so forth, I think it used to be called a perk chart or something to that effect. We need to find out what the critical path is. You know, we can't just barge off on one side. You know, we've got to make sure everything underneath it is taken care of before we join up again. And I think this is probably almost as important as your point, Dick. You know, we don't want to get ahead of us and then all of a sudden find out we have to backtrack and tear up something that we've done.
Yeah, that's why we need the engineer.
Yeah, well, but, you know, we need a critical path. We need to know what the critical path is. And once you know that, you can better estimate the cost because you know the duration and what needs to be done.
Thank you, Councilman Homoki. All right, anything for issues and updates?
Just one comment. I know there's an item in here about the survey, and again, maybe you could explain to the audience at home a little bit about the survey so when they get the telephone call, they won't blow it off.
Yes. We have discussed at length, specifically during the last budget process, the need to conduct a professionally run citizen survey on an annual basis. And so you might initially say, well, why would you want to do that? Truth is that we ask our citizens as taxpayers every year to hand over $50 million in our annual budget. And I've learned in my previous experience that one of the effective ways of knowing what our citizens think about the various programs and services that we offer is actually to ask them through a objective evaluation process. And so that's why this council supported the appropriation in the budget to conduct a citizen survey. We're partnering with the USC Aiken, who have conducted surveys in the past. And so over the next 3 or 4 weeks, there will be calls made to our citizens, and we have issued press releases. I have seen several very nice reviews on our local TV stations over the past 3 or 4 days, and we're trying to do all we can do through social media and the like to get the word out that over the next 2 or 3 weeks, if you get a call from the University of South Carolina at Aiken representing that they're representing the city of Aiken, they actually are, they're performing the survey for us. It's not a political survey. It's based on allowing citizens an opportunity to comment on the variety of departments, programs, and services that we offer, allowing our citizens to say, I like this, I don't like that, I'd like to see that expanded, I would like to see that eliminated, or whatever. And so this mechanism will allow us to do that. So we would ask our citizens that if they do get a call, we expect the call, the survey would take anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, but it's valuable information that we need to set a baseline that will be used in future years to track the performance of our departments in our programs, to see from year to year whether whether our programs and services are improving or declining, and also, as I said, to in an objective way to ask our citizens how they feel about their relationship with city government and how we can improve what we do.
And I think you said you're going to make every effort to take an equal amount from each of our districts.
Yes, it will be a random sample survey that is across the city. And yes, it will represent various factions in the city, various locations in the city, and the like.
Thank you.
You good? All right, hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
A motion and second. All in favor, please stand up. Thank you, Mel. I'll talk to you.
One more on Silver Bluff is a friendship.